Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Garments on him, and he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they went before, and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You may be seated. Palm Sunday. It's an exciting time if you understand the import of all it is. It's the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and was. It's not Easter, but it's a prelude to Easter. It's the next thing to it. It's actually the celebration without the suffering. It's the first time there was a generic revelation that this man called Jesus was the long-prophesied Messiah. Now there is a crowd that says he is. The greatest thing that can happen to you in your life is to realize who Jesus is. He was a godly man, but he was also the Son of Man and the Son of God. Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Messiah that has come to us. It's so important that you know him. Years ago in Martinsville, Indiana, I was with some of my friends, and there were 12 of us, and we were teeing off on a golf course, and there was 12 on one tee. Four is how many you tee off with. We had 12. A man rolled up there in khaki pants, and he said, gentlemen, he said, you can't tee off with 12. We all knew that. It slows down the pace. You just can't do that. It's against all the rules. But my friend with me took one look at him in his khakis, and he said, we'll do what we want to do. Go on back to the clubhouse. I couldn't believe he said that. My other friend said to me as I got in the course, said, you know who that guy is, don't you? I said, no. He said, this is a private course, and he's the owner. I said, I will be back. I went straight to the clubhouse. I said, sir, are you calling the police? He said, no. I said, believe it or not, the guy that insulted you is a good guy. And I don't know why he said that, but I want to apologize. And I promise you, when I get back to the tee box, we'll be tee off in fours. He just didn't look like he owned that golf course. So many people just don't know what Jesus looks like. But I can tell you, he is the embodiment of love. He is the presence of joy. And the greatest thing that ever happened to me is I know Jesus Christ. And so Palm Sunday's greatest thing was the revelation of who Jesus was. It brought out the best in his followers, and it revealed the worst in his religious detractors. It fulfilled the prophecy of Christ as the Messiah to the smallest detail. Because in Zechariah 9:9, it said that he shall come riding upon a colt, and that he did. And so that's what was happening here. But the thing that is so fantastic about this story is, it was prophesied about, but it was not commanded. Ladies and gentlemen, there is running through this story, an emblematic parallel of what God wants his church to be. Jesus does not want his church to be soldiers that are obedient by commandment. He wants us to be as spontaneous as his followers were that day. Nobody told them to cut the palm branches off. Nobody told them to take off their coats and their cloaks and pave the way for Christ to come in. No one told them to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. No one told them to declare he was the Messiah. It was not a commandment, but it was a prophecy that they were fulfilling on their own. Ladies and gentlemen, when you come to this church, God does not want you to give because I ask you to. God does not want you to praise God because Sister Becky expects you to. This is supposed to be a house of spontaneity. That because we know who he is, we don't need instructions on how to live for God or how to follow Christ. It is just something inside of us. We're just glad to come to God's house. It's not something that we have to do. It's something we get to do. And when we come to church, there might be a little program we have, but Christ expects that that program is somehow going to be ignored because somebody is going to remember what Christ did for them. That's the wonderful thing about a Holy Ghost-filled church as opposed to a religious church, is when we come to this house, Becky might have her worshipers practice two or three times in a week. I might prepare a sermon, but the greatest thing is that there are people in this house that know who Jesus Christ is. Not because I told them, but because he has manifested himself to them. Sometime during the week, he has been their Savior. Sometime during the week, he has been their provider. And so suddenly, praise God, it's a moment of celebration. Not because somebody pointed you out and said, stand and praise, but because you've got a love and a revelation of who God is in Christ that you just can't hold it together. You just can't keep it to yourself. You've got to applaud. You've got to praise. You've got to cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. The Messiah has arrived and he has come to my house. It was quite a crowd. It was new believers. It was children. It was old folks. And then there was Lazarus. The Bible said plainly, Lazarus was in the crowd. You just can't keep him down. Folks, that's the reason why Christianity can't be destroyed. It's tried to be destroyed by communism. It's tried to be destroyed by secularism. But there's always a Lazarus in the crowd. There's always somebody that said, I was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. In the midst of all of the quandary that is going on, there's always somebody with a testimony. You don't know what the Lord has done for me. And so Palm Sunday is a celebration, but it's also a pattern that we are supposed to spontaneously praise God when people least expect it. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious people are there. This was totally unexpected to them, that Christ would fulfill Zechariah 9 and 9, that he would come riding in on a colt. And suddenly there would be an outbreak, a revival, a praise meeting, a song fest. A choir begins to sing. People begin to praise, and the world does not know what to do with it. The world knows what to do with religion. They will assail it with intellectualism, but they don't know what to do with a man that has a testimony. When they said to the parents, what about your son? Ask him. He's of age. And his testimony was, I was blind, but now I see. 2,000 years later, we're still celebrating Palm Sunday, and it's still our testimony. I was blind, but now I see. We've still got Lazarus in the crowd here at Living Way Church today that are going to say, hey, I was dead in sins and trespasses. Praise God. I think today of our brother that's gone to be with the Lord, and his son is in the congregation today. His testimony was that he drank a quart of whiskey every day until he met Jesus Christ. And after that, he never had a drink. There's always somebody that's got a testimony. I used to be this way, and now I am this way. You just can't stop people with a testimony. And that's what Palm Sunday is. It's celebration. Look where the Lord has brought me. Look where Jesus Christ has delivered me from and to. And when you do that, there's an amazing little verse in this whole story. And the Bible said that finally these religious leaders, the Bible said they hated him. They wanted to destroy him. But the Bible said finally, they said, what are we going to do? The whole world is gone after him. There are so many types in this story. There's the way we ought to have a church. It ought to be a celebration every time we come together. That our Christ overcame our sin. He overcame our great enemy of death. He overcame the grave. He overcame hell. And he has delivered us the promise that we will live forever in the presence of our family and our friends, but most of all, in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a testimony. And so when you come to God's house, it's not supposed to be a funeral. It's not supposed to be a classroom. It's supposed to be a celebration. When you look at the Masters in Augusta and people celebrate golf, that's exciting. Or when you go to Indianapolis and they have the 500-mile race, I was raised a few miles down the road from that. Or you go to March Madness and these people are celebrating their little victories that literally mean nothing and will not last. But oh, the joy they have momentarily. Why is it that the church can't be more joyous than the sports fan? We are the fans of Jesus Christ because he went where we could not go and defeated an enemy that we could not whip. And so we have to celebrate him. We will take off our coats and throw them in his path. We will declare among all religious people, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. He wakes me up the morning and he starts me on my way. When he said, "Lo, I am with you forever," he was talking to me. He's never left me. He's with me every day of my life. It's joy in the morning, and I celebrate him. And so every day of our life is much like this Palm Sunday. We are people that spontaneously praise the Lord. Have I shared with you recently enough about when this church was in great financial need? It was new. We needed $1 million because we were under construction next door. I was new in town almost 48 years ago now, and I didn't have any credit, and I didn't have any money. But I tell you what I had a Messiah. And when I went over on Fredericksburg Road to the 12th story to do my radio broadcast, I was full of faith that God was going to make a way. That God was not going to let me start a tower and not finish it. And when I got on that elevator from the 12th floor on Fredericksburg Road, where the radio station was, KSLR at that time, I began to praise and glorify God. I didn't realize that the elevator had now come to the bottom floor, and there was 100 people or more, maybe 200, in that foyer that had come back from lunch. And when I opened my eyes, there I was, praising God. Speaking in tongues, worshiping Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that I didn't have to tell anybody to move out of my way. When I stepped out of that elevator, it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. They were to the right and to the left, and I walked through them, just kept praising God. Went straight up the road on Fredericksburg Road to Citizens Frost Bank. Walked in with a little sheet of paper and said, "I need to see a loan officer." Sat down in front of a woman I'd never met before. She didn't know my name. She said, "What are you here for, sir?" I said who I was, and I want $1 million. She sat there a while, and finally she smiled and said, "Young man," I was in my 20s. She said, "I'm going to give you $1 million because I like you." The Bible told me that God would cause me to grow in favor with God and with man. Oh, that's the reason why I praise him. He's made a way where there was no way. When the doctors gave me a bad report, he reversed it. When the banker said no, he made them change their mind. He's always been on my side. And so this is Palm Sunday, and we celebrate. We celebrate. And friend, religion has always opposed the move of God. But in this day and time, there's an open market for the Church of the Living God, because this world is in trouble. And if you think Joe Biden is doing a bad job, just wait till we get Trump back. Friend, there is no solution in the White House. There is no solution in politics. And you might judge those men, but they might really have good hearts and be well-meaning. They just don't have the power. But folks, I'm looking at a group that has the power. They know the Alpha and the Omega. They know the creator of the universe. They know the one that is able to turn war to peace and sickness to health and slavery to liberation. And his name is Jesus Christ. And I ask you for two things if you're going to be a member of Living Way Church. That when you recognize this church and you represent this church and you come through those doors, you celebrate this place because it is a place of liberty and a place of love. It's not a place of bondage. It's not a place of prejudice and hatred. It is the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ loves one and all. And we don't care who you are or where you came from. We don't care what your hang-up or sin is. Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you with his precious shed blood. He's in this room right now. You don't have a problem for which he does not have the answer. You don't have a question that he cannot resolve. He's here. And just as you heard Brother Charlie testify a while ago, he's able to fix your heart where the doctor says, go home and eat donuts. Oh, I wished I had a doctor like that. Or where you've got kidney cancer and the doctor says, we don't know what happened, but it's gone. Gone, 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 gone. There's somebody in this building that's got a problem, but before you leave this room, it's going to be gone, 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 gone. There's somebody here sick, but God's going to make you well. There's somebody here with addiction, but God's going to cut that addiction. Addictions are so hard to break, and nobody hates the addiction like the addict. You say, I lose patience with them. Don't. Keep praying for them because they hate the addiction worse than you are. But friends, sometimes there's just nothing but a miracle will cure them. But we know the miracle man. His name is Jesus. Hosanna! 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 That same Christ is walking the aisles of this church. And I challenge somebody that's had thoughts of suicide, somebody that said life is not worth living, somebody that's in pain, somebody that doesn't have an answer, I challenge you to get up out of your pew today. And the altar call starts now. I challenge you to come out of your pew and walk down to this altar and say, I won't die, but I will live. I won't be stopped, but I've just begun. It's not finished, it's just beginning. It's not over. God has written a brand new page in my book. And I've come today to celebrate Jesus Christ. It is Palm Sunday in my life. Will you stand all over this building and give your praise to Jesus Christ? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I know in the church you used to go to, they talked about your sacrifice, your suffering from sin. Preachers like to say you sowed the seed and now you're reaping it. Folks, I've sowed so much seed that I've never reaped because God came in and stopped the harvest and said he's not going to reap that seed. I'm going to reverse it. I'm going to change the seed, praise God. And so God has blessed me when I didn't deserve to be blessed. And he's in this room right now. God's going to work miracles in your life today, not because you wrote a $1,000 check or you came 12 Sundays in a row. God is going to bless you today because Jesus Christ paid the price, took all the suffering, and said, now, welcome to the celebration. The living Christ is here. He lives in your midst. He lives in your heart. And he's here to heal you. You heard these testimonies, folks, in writing. Brother Charlie's got it in writing. He gave it to me. I got it in my pocket right now. These are living testimonies. Charlie is a wonderful man, but God doesn't love him more than he loves you. He loves us all equally. Believe that he's going to do it just because he's good. Just because he's good. Every time you get ready to receive a miracle, there's going to be a devil that says you don't deserve it because of such and such. The Bible identifies the devil as a liar and the father of all liars, an accuser of the brethren. Don't listen to the devil. You're not sick because of your deeds. You're sick because of the devil. But Jesus Christ defeated the devil. You're going to be healed. You're not lost because of your sins you've done. You're lost because the devil's got a hell. He's trying to take you there. But Jesus suffered it all that you can celebrate. And right now, I want you to begin to worship Jesus Christ. The best way to a miracle is worship. The best way to salvation is a miracle, is praise and worship to God. I want every one of you in this altar and anybody else in this auditorium, just lift your hands and begin to acknowledge Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Jesus, I accept you. I accept your sacrifice. I accept Calvary. I accept what you've done. I accept your suffering. And now I celebrate you because you are alive forevermore.